Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you. We were slacked off in October. We didn't get you to Drunk History, but we're going to give you two in November, we promise. donate if you can, but if you can't donate, go to iTunes and give us a nice five-star review. That will help us almost as much as a donation. So just take the 5 minutes, go to iTunes, give us a review, tell the world how awesome we are. It will help us tremendously.
Or if you hate Dave, you can maybe
give
us
just review us. That's what counts. The Saints are fucking 5-2, and Kevin, if I told you the Saints would be 5-2, and they would win a game where Drew Brees didn't throw a touchdown, they would lose the turnover battle 2-1, and basically self-implode in the fourth quarter on offense, yet win, would you say I believed in unicorns?
Of course you put all those qualifiers on it. I'm going to say you obviously need to be committed and subjected to electroshock therapy. The fact that the Saints are 5-2 at all, and again, we can go back to last week. In fact, I'll say this next week and every week for the rest of the year, I am amazed that they are above 500, period, let alone are at the top of the division. And I said last week that 10-6, it seemed like a very good possibility.
5-4 the rest of the way will get you 10-6.
Right, and it still looks very good. Like, it still looks like that's happening. And with the way the rest of the division is played, again, 10-6 is likely going to win you the division.
Dave, that crowd seemed really feisty. Like, my mom was like, nobody left. And that crowd, I mean, like, the crowd seems really, I mean, obviously they're winning and they're into it. But even when the Saints were winning.
This isn't LSU, Ralph. Come on.
Well, I mean.
Oh, I thought there were a lot of people that left early.
Really?
I disagree with your mom.
Oh.
Maybe in the club level, you know, more so maybe in the club level. But I thought it kind of thinned out way earlier than it should have, to be honest with you. Yeah.
So,
what do you got to say about that, Mrs. Ralph?
Miss Malbro, she was like, the crowd stayed. They were excited. They were into it.
Actually, I was on the national broadcast that I was watching. I could definitely hear Bears fans.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, they. You know, they always put the away team fans, they're always in that one corner. And you can tell the teams that have fans that travel better than others, because you'll always hear, you know, when the Steelers come to town or like this week with the Bears, you can definitely hear from that one corner. It'll get loud at certain key parts of the game.
I never advocate violence against other fans, but if somebody's dressed as Ditka yelling "Go Bears," I don't condone violence, but I understand it. Like dressing as Ditka in the Superdome. Like,
Ralph, you really hate Ditka.
It's triggering, Andrew. It's fucking triggering. Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Andrew, this defense, like, I'm not sure that it's good. But I'm pretty confident when they play a shitty offense or an offense that has major problems, like, that offense isn't scoring on the Saints. Is that a fair thing, like, after 7 weeks? I was pretty confident. Like, the Bears, like, they weren't going to put – I was like, they're not going to put up 24-30 on the Saints. It's not going to happen.
You know, there were moments that were pretty awful, and both I actually rewatched both games last night, and man, there were some moments.
What both games? What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, Packers and Bears.
Oh,
the last two games. There were moments in both games where, I mean, just, you know, the runs, the quarterback runs. Huntley had a couple big ones. He had the touchdown run, and then, you know, Trubisky obviously had the big 50-yarder. You know, in both games, they gave up huge goal line carries where, you know, both teams were pinned deep inside their own territory, and they break off a huge run and get out of trouble. So, you know, there's just been bad moments. But then you look at the total points, and Bears had, what, 12 points, and Packers had barely more than that. And it's interesting how, even though within those games, there's just moments where you're like, ugh, they might be kind of bad. They're overall, I mean, they're getting turnovers, which helps, but they're, I wouldn't say like their back end play is elite. I wouldn't say their pass rush is great. I wouldn't say their tackling is great. I mean, there's nothing
Ken
I would
Crawley,
say.
Looking at you, Ken Crawley.
I wouldn't say there's anything they do defensively that's great, but they just, I don't know.
They aren't like horrifically bad though.
Oh,
like,
no.
You know, like,
no,
they,
no, no.
Like, they just, they don't have the oh my God, there's no one within 20 yards of it. You know, we don't have Kevin coming on this, you know. Kevin, I feel like the last 3 years, like a weekly thing during the season was you ranting and raving about like two plays where we're just like, what the fuck is going on? And they just, like those big moments are, I mean, the Bears had a couple of them, but like the Trubisky run was just, they had everybody covered and he just took off running. They busted the long run, but I mean, Kevin.
I just don't feel like the team is
The defense was gashed all game. On the
ground. Just look like a 7-9 team to me. Like,
If you take out the one run by Jordan Howard, I mean, I think they're not. I think their stats look pretty good.
And Trubisky.
Yeah, if you take out that's 100 yards of rushing right there, and they ran for
157. Yeah.
I mean, okay. Kevin, I saw on Twitter. I don't know who said it, but they said that this Saints team is kind of like a. Like, if the 2006 Saints and the 2013 Saints got together and had a baby, like, this would be that team. Like, their offense isn't great, and their defense is, like, kind of meh. But, the combination of it gets them to 10-6. Is that a fair assessment, like, seven games in? Like, what team does this remind you of, maybe?
I don't know if I would even say the 06 team. Well, you know, maybe the 06. Maybe the 06 or the 07 team, because Drew wasn't, like, Drew became good, but he didn't start hitting this, like.
Oh, it wasn't like 2009 to a 2011 Breeze.
Right. It was that. And. So maybe, you know, maybe one of those early seasons on the offense where they were figuring out how to do things. And then, you know, defensively, yeah, maybe like that 2013 defense.
Yeah, I mean, like, Andrew, that's a good point that Kevin makes about, you know, like 2006 Drew Brees, like he was good and it was awesome. But after 2006, nobody was like, you know what? Drew Brees is going to throw for 5,000 yards four times, and he's going to own every fucking passing record that ever was. Like, we weren't saying that after 2006. You know, we were like, Drew Brees is good, and we won a playoff game, and he's going to be really good for a decade maybe, and we have a really good quarterback. But nobody was like, he's going to be a fucking machine, you know?
No.
Does it?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, well, I mean, if you look at offense, the big concern to me is just third down. I think they're running the ball pretty well. So, I mean, anytime you do that, that's going to help you offensively. And I think on first and second down, you know, there's the element of surprise with play action and some of the screens they like to run. And so they've had a lot of plays, I think, on first and second down be successful just because of their ability to play call and get mismatches and all that stuff. But as soon as it gets into third down and teams know they're throwing, and they can't get as fancy with the play calling, and they can't run the ball. And it just comes down to, you know, are the receivers going to beat you, and is your pass rush going to get there in time? Like, that's what third down is all about. And I just think when it gets to third down, the pass protection is spotty because they've had so many guys get hurt. And the receivers are not that great.
They have open. Kevin, we used to have a theory. I think you might have even created it. It was like the South Park gnome underpants theory of Saints passing. It was like step one, Drew Brees throw a touchdown pass. Step two, question mark. Step three, touchdown. I feel like this receiving core for the Saints is like stretched that theory to the limit of like how shitty can the Saints receivers be and still be functioning passing. I feel like we're at that point because it's like Michael Thomas, Snead is hurt, and the rest are kind of.
Yeah, I mean, and well, honestly, yesterday Drew Brees wasn't throwing too much. Too many deep balls. Like he hit one deep pass to
again for Kamara. YOLO.
And it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everything just seemed to be like much shorter. Like, and I mean, yeah, he hit Josh Hill a couple of times. He was hitting Ingram and he was hitting Kamara out of the backfield or on like
Fleener
some
on
like,
the
weird.
Team. Is Fleener on the team
like,
still? I feel like he's not.
I only know Fleener's on the team because I saw JJ talking to him on the sideline pregame on the Saints Snapchat. That's the only reason I know Fleener's on the team. And Snead, yes, Snead. I didn't see the snap counts, but
Snead
I was kind of
like
paying
four plays.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was kind of paying attention, and he was never in the game. I was watching it the whole game. I mean, he was just always standing next to the coach waiting to go in and but never getting called.
Did Tommy Lee Lewis get more offensive snaps than Snead?
Yeah, I think he did. He is in the doghouse or something because
it's either that. I mean, it's either that or he's just not totally.
Maybe.
You know, they well, really want to slowly bring him back up to speed with the injury thing, but it's got to be one of those
well,
two.
Dave,
there's no reason.
Speaking of the offense, you're.
But I don't understand though. I feel like it can't be the latter. I feel like it's got to be a doghouse thing because what's the point in dressing him and wasting?
Yeah, that's true.
An active roster spot if you know he's injured. I mean, you can bring him along and get him up to speed during the week in practice. I mean, you don't need to waste a spot during a game. So it does make me think maybe you're right. Maybe he isn't a doghouse.
Well, Snead, to me, Snead. I mean, he's completely nuked. I mean, there's still a whole half of a season left, so maybe he'll get a chance here. But you remember there was the whole contract talk in the offseason.
Brandon Coleman's closer to an extension than Willie Snead is.
I agree. No, it's a good call. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying Brandon Coleman's going to get paid, but Brandon Coleman's going to get, like, if they're going to extend, like, Brandon Coleman will get, like, $4 million a year for, like, 3 years. But, Dave, your boyfriend fumbled twice. Are you like
we're breaking up. We're on a break. Yeah, no, it was disappointing. I was just thinking at the start of the podcast when you were talking about, you know, what this game felt like. And you remember that time we played the Chargers and they fumbled away twice.
They did. I didn't think of that, but that's a good game. Yeah.
And we were well on our way to doing the same thing. We were about to pull a full on Chargers. You never go full Chargers.
I felt like they were fucked when it was 17-12 and the Bears had the ball
again.
I was like, they're doomed.
I feel the exact opposite. I was actually very confident the whole game. And what I really felt, and it wound up happening and becoming true, but I was like, this secondary, this D, they're going to get a turnover, most likely an interception. I don't know why. I'm not saying I'm psychic or anything, but that was just kind of how it felt. It kind of felt like they're just, at some point, they're going to get an interception. And, of course, they got it late in the game. I mean, A.J. Klein dropped one earlier that he should have definitely had.
He dropped one in the Packers game, too.
Yeah, you're right. In the end zone, I think that one was in the Packers game. So, I don't know. But, no, I was confident the whole time. I never felt worried. The Saints were leading from the very beginning. And I know they were fumbling it away, but I had a lot of confidence in the defense. It's crazy to say that. I really did. And I just had a feeling. I said, at some point, these guys are going to get a takeaway. They're gonna pick this ball up. And of course, not surprised. And I'm not. I wish I had my buddy who I took to the game with me, to corroborate the story, because obviously, you know, everybody listening is like, yeah, okay, whatever, Dave, whatever, Dave. And that's fair, but I promise you. But yeah, Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, he's becoming the 2009 version of Darren Sharper with just significantly less rape.
Well, here's him.
Just slightly less rapey.
All-pro corner, 20% less rapey. No, he's 100% less rapey. So
hopefully.
The thing is with Marshawn Lattimore is I think we're reaching the point in the program with him where he's not going to get interceptions because teams are just like going to be like, nah, we're not
throwing. He got targeted two times, yeah. I think PFF said two times.
Kevin, here's...
One pass defense and one interception. So you don't want to throw to Marshawn Lattimore. Kevin, bad things are going to happen when you look at Marshawn Lattimore.
Kevin, here's my Halloween costume. Tell me if you think it's going to be a hit. I'm going as a ghost. My PJ Williams jersey arrived today in the mail. Is that a good Halloween costume?
Kevin has no response. Kevin. Or he hung up.
I think he just fainted.
Kevin
from the hilarity.
Is he on mute?
I think Kevin turned into a ghost.
You think Kevin's on mute? Held, are you there?
Wait. Is Kevin doing his best PJ Williams impersonation?
He's there, I think. I don't know. So I was proud of that joke. I should have used it in my column, but I didn't think of it soon enough.
No, don't waste the good stuff on WWL.
Man, well, I had to take out my PFT commenter joke about it's not a catch unless you wake up with the ball after your surgery to get your leg reset.
I'm glad somebody is editing over there.
Well, they had to take it out because
I can't believe you even thought that was going to get passed.
No, it did get passed. But then when he was like, when we saw this morning that he might lose his leg, we're like, I was like, you got to take that out because it's insensitive. But last night, like, no one said that he was going to lose his leg last night. I didn't see that.
Well, it's official that he's keeping the leg, right?
Yeah. He had the surgery was successful.
He's okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No, he's not okay, but I mean,
he may never play football again. I mean, he's like 33, 34 already, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened to Kevin if he muted or he had to eject because of work, but he's still there supposedly. I see his little symbol. So Kevin, if you can hear us, just chime in, and we'll get you back up. Or he's talking to himself right now and he's muted and he doesn't realize it and he's just going.
But he would hear us.
He's really staying committed to the PJ Williams character here.
Yeah, he is. He's gone. He probably had.
It's impressive.
It's disappointing. He wanted to talk about Halloween candy.
He did, but there he is. Held, are you back?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Did you miss I felt like my PJ Williams joke was gone.
That was a great.
No, PJ. No. I heard the whole thing. I was responding.
you guys
just never said anything and then started talking like, oh, did Held mute himself? And I checked my phone. I did not mute myself. For whatever reason, Skype is being a pain in the ass. Right.
I only consider Skype a pain in the ass when y'all start sounding like chipmunks and I have to do major editing, which we haven't had to do yet.
We are the chipmunks.
So, but Kevin, me and I think he caught the ball and the refs fucked him.
Not by the rule.
Nope.
And Andrew and Dave have a heart of darkness and don't want to give that poor man a touchdown.
If it was a touchdown, we would have lost the game, first of all.
Well, maybe. I felt like he caught it, his leg was broken in half, or his knee was dislocated, and then he put the ball down because he was in pain, but it was like a drop, I don't know.
He lost control of the ball. The rule is, everybody should know this by now. It's been a few years. The rule is you have to maintain control of the ball through the catch. That means when you hit the ground. That means even when you roll over 180 degrees. That means even when you're doing your touchdown celebration, you still have to have control of the football. You cannot lose control of the football. I'm exaggerating.
Even while in traction.
Right. You know, but yeah, and the ball, I mean, you can see on the replay that the ball comes loose as he's falling to the ground or just hitting the ground. I mean, you got to hold on to it for a good bit of time, a few seconds afterward. And he definitely lost a little bit of control. And then I think at that point, the ball actually hit the ground.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, it's not a catch.
As he goes to the ground, and, you know, I mean, he didn't really catch him. He was kind of coming to the ground as he started to have possession. And the nose of the football hits the turf, and you see the ball start to come loose. You see it move in his hands. Like, to me, that's a definition of a no catch.
Yeah.
To me, that's an easy call.
Where was the face mask? I was in the dome. I didn't see a face mask on that call that they called on the Saints defense. Was there a face mask on that at all?
No.
Did they show that anything on the replay?
Just, I mean, I don't know. The referee was just like, I got to throw a flag. I got to hit the quota. But I feel like, I felt like, Kevin, the Saints got a shit ton of breaks in that game. I mean, you can argue the catch wasn't a catch. I mean, the dude was offsides on a field goal, and the Saints get a first down. They fumbled that, but it was down.
How dumb was that? Jeez.
What's that?
How dumb was the offside on the field?
Yeah, he wasn't like he was offsides by like a good yard. Like, but I mean,
we're getting those 2009 breaks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Kevin. That the Saints won and got lucky as shit. It actually makes me feel even better about 2017. Is that weird?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But do you feel like that the Saints are getting all these breaks? Does that make you feel better than even if they had like won 35-10 or something? Because I kind of do. Like, I like that.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I feel better than if they had won going away. I think the fact that they seemingly played down to their opponent and just couldn't get enough going on offense, yet the defense kept them in the game, or kept the game close and kept the Bears at bay. And the fact that they won at the end, despite all these things going wrong, despite the Bears getting the ball back with enough time to potentially win. I mean, it's, I'm sure during the 09 season, maybe you were talking about it more, but teams get those lucky bounces.
I mean,
or those handful of calls that just go their way.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel like they were like, I mean, they were lucky. I felt like they were fortunate in the NFC Championship, and they were fortunate some in 2009. I felt like in 2010 they were lucky as fuck. Like, they were really like an 8-8 team that like lucked their way to 11-5. Like, that team pulled games out the ass repeatedly. Like, remember the Dallas Thanksgiving game, the Cincinnati game, the Atlanta, like, they had a ton of close games in 2010 that you were just like, man, they got lucky again. But Andrew, you can all answer this, but I'll start with you. Andrew, I have questions on Twitter from people. We'll get to the question, all the questions later. But people are asking me, is Marshawn Lattimore already the best Saints corner in the history of the team after 7 weeks?
Like, no.
And I'm like, I don't.
Is the answer is no. It's not hell no.
I mean, he's pretty close. I mean, put it this way: if he keeps playing like this, he'll have the best season as a Saints corner in history. Maybe. Like, I mean, Dave Weimer had 9 interceptions, and Ashley Ambrose was really good in '98. But I mean, that's about it. Like, the list is fucking short.
Yeah.
But I mean, Dave and Kevin, do you think
is good? I mean, he's awesome.
Is it Dave and Kevin? Do you think he's already the best Saints corner in Saints history?
I mean, like, if he continues to play like that for the rest of the season and then just like retires and only has that one season to go off of, then I could say, yeah, you know, he just rode off into the sunset. But I mean, obviously, if he continues to play, I'd say if we get one more year like this out of him, I'd say then you could possibly say that. Yeah.
Kevin, I feel like if we did,
I've got a hot take.
What go?
Forget history. Forget all time. Whatever. I would argue that Marshawn Lattimore may be the best player on this defense.
I don't think that's a hot take at all.
Cam Jordan.
Over Cam Jordan?
Cam Jordan's really good. I mean,
absolutely.
Cam Jordan is really good.
Cam Jordan is awesome. I mean,
Marshawn Lattimore is really good.
I think if you were to ask most NFL teams to evaluate those two players and pick one of the two right now, I think they take the shutdown corner over the defensive end. That's not a game changer, you know? I mean, he's really good, but he's not an explosive sack guy. He's just an all-around solid defensive end.
All right, Kevin.
I'm not putting him down. I'm just saying Lattimore is I think Lattimore might be more of a stud than Cam Jordan.
All right, Kevin, I know your time is short. So before you get out of here, I want you to say your favorite Halloween candy, your worst Halloween candy, and give me a pick for the Saints game. The Saints are a 6-point favorite.
If I already know Kevin's going to say that candy corn's the worst.
Yeah, actually, I was getting ready to say, are we just all in agreement that candy corn is the dirt worst and we should just pick something else?
No, I like candy corn. I wouldn't say it's the best, but I love candy corn. I love candy corn.
Knew Kevin was going to say that.
Saints are a 7-point favorite. So candy corn's the worst. That's wrong. Candy corn is great, especially if you mix it in things. It's very
good. Kevin, I don't know how you answer a question wrong that is about personal opinion, but you managed to do it.
Yes. So
how is it that I'm the one out of the four of us with actual taste here? The worst candy. And especially King Foodie, Dave, who's been sharing like photos of a time gone by when, you know, when he still had hair on his head. Like, man,
I didn't share that photo. Maybe my wife did. Hey, now, if you're sitting in a room and you're the only person that has a certain opinion, maybe you're the one that's wrong.
All right, well, Kevin, what's the best Halloween candy then?
If there's what's the saying? If you know one asshole, then
that's right.
They're an asshole, and if everyone is an asshole, then you're the asshole.
That's right, something like that.
but aren't all four of us admitted assholes, though?
Yeah, we are. We are.
I am a scholar and a gentleman, Kevin.
This is true. Point.
And an asshole. shit. Reese's Pieces are the best Halloween candy.
Yeah, you somewhat redeemed yourself there.
Yeah, though.
Reese's Pieces are the best Halloween candy. And let's see, 7-point fan. Are they at home or are they on the road?
They're at home.
Against the Sucks.
That Bucks are so bad.
Hey, they almost beat the Bills.
No, they really didn't.
So, Kevin.
Yeah, I'll take the Saints and lay
the
points.
7. Wow.
Yep. And was there any other question?
No, there's no other question. There's no other question. So I know your time is limited.
Right. I gotta go get back to work.
Well, thank you, even though your candy corn opinion is wrong.
Wrong.
Listen. The listeners will vindicate me on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please comment now. Sure. All you listeners, please comment on your hatred for candy corn or your love for candy corn.
Listen. What you need to do is put up a Twitter poll on the podcast Twitter page and just say, candy corn, trash or not trash? That's it. Pass or fail on candy corn. Very simple.
I will after the show.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
All right. So before we get to the game, we ran out of time with Kevin, but the trade deadline is tomorrow at 4:00. I think. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've already had some fun stuff. The Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo to.
Yeah, that was unexpected.
To the 49ers for a second-round pick. Andrew, we went all offseason wanting a corner, and we even thought like maybe during the year it would happen. You know, because the Saints, if they were like 500 and they'd still need a corner, maybe New England wants to get something. Like, I don't think they're doing the deal for the system corner, Malcolm Butler. Like, they're okay at corner, but I still think I don't know. They're probably not going to do anything major, but I think they're not opposed to it doing something. What will they do if they do something today or tomorrow?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier today, Ralph, and you know, we were saying, you know, what positions do the Saints need? I mean, it's hard to name a player, but I just think if I were to guess, like, who's the guy that could come in and actually play for them right now? I feel like it would either have to be a receiver, you know, who could come in and kind of be their number three or maybe even move ahead of Ginn, or a linebacker. I mean, I still think, you know, Klein and Robertson are okay, but they could certainly find a guy that's better and maybe be an upgrade. Yeah, I don't think at this point Klein, I mean, I think he's got the keys of the car, and, you know, but Robertson's a guy that maybe could get bumped down again. So those to me are the two positions. Yeah, corner's weird, man, because I mean, they just cut Sterling Moore. I mean, they cut the guy that
their best corner last year.
This is before Delvin Broe came back. And they cut him, and so that's where they're at corner. I mean, PJ Williams is a guy they like, and he can't even get on the field because they just don't need him. You know, Crawley's playing really well, and Lattimore's playing even better. And, you know, at some point, Delvin Bro is going to come back. So, unbelievably, of all positions, corner might be the deepest on the roster.
Great. And that's with PJ Williams not working out. It's crazy.
And bro hurt.
It's bananas. It's fucking insane. It's insane. But
B A N A N A F. By the way, I put the Twitter poll up about candy corn on the podcast's Twitter account.
All right.
Then I retweeted it on the Saints on the CSC account. If you guys want to retweet too, they have 2 hours to vote. I made this quick.
Candy corn. It's delicious.
It's already got 9 votes. Wait, how do we see the results here?
Yeah, how are we doing so far?
Trash, 75%.
Oh, come yes. on.
So
what a bunch of Kevins.
I mean, like,
with people, you're Kevin held.
So I mean, Dave, are you going to be all right? Like, if the Saints don't do anything at the trade, are you going to be like, okay, it's cool, we're good, I think we can get to the playoffs as we are? Or are you going to be like, they needed to do something?
I mean, you know, they could always upgrade, but I'm pretty comfortable so far. You know, and at cornerback, you know, Delvin Bro, hopefully coming back. Hopefully he can contribute a little bit. I wouldn't even want him to come in and be a starter. I like the chemistry, the Lattimore Crawley chemistry. But I mean, it'd be good if they got, you know, maybe somebody along the offensive line. You know, again, running back kind of worries me. I'm a little worried about Ingram really making it through a full season. So, but I mean, so far so good, really.
I mean,
and I'm not even going to say it, but injuries so far,
not terrible. Because I mean, the thing is with the Saints that they got injured. They've had injuries. Look, I mean, you know, and they lost fairly.
They have.
They lost fairly. They had Armstead get hurt in the offseason. But your thing in the offseason, you know, you might even say this on the podcast in the offseason, we're like, if the injuries are going to hit them somewhere, offensive line.
I don't like talking about this. I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, offensive line and linebacker is like places that they can take it, and it hadn't been bad, but you know, I guess, Andrew, I feel like wide receiver, like you said, they could get a guy and he could plug in with a package and he could get up to speed fast. I feel like if they could get a defensive tackle to fill, to be, even if it's like a fat guy or run stuffer,
they do feel a little weak up the middle.
Like,
I agree.
That would be helpful. I don't know a name. I mean, I know the Giant, the Colts signed, I forget it, I think his name is Hankins. And if they wanted to do a fire sale, he'd be a body. But the problem is, they have to create space to take a decent guy. How they have $2 million of cap space? How can they create? If they needed to get, if they had a defensive tackle or whoever that came, or a linebacker that came loose, and the Saints had to create $7 million of cap space, can they do it? Like, is it not?
Well, you know, I hate to bring this up because, you know, it's been pretty clear from Breeze's camp that, you know, he's not negotiating his contract until the end of the year. But I just feel like if they approach Breeze, I mean, right now they're 5-2 and the defense is playing well for the first time in a long time. And I just feel like if they were desperate for financial flexibility to land a guy at 5-2 that they felt was going to make the difference between, you know, hey, we might sneak into the playoffs based on where we are now, or we might win this thing. I just feel like they could approach Breeze and be like, hey, look, can we go ahead and just sign you for next year? Clearly, we fixed the defense. We're on the right track there. Clearly, you want to stay. We want you to stay. You know, it's not going to be another 7-9 year. Things are more stable now. And I would just say don't rule it out. If they get desperate for some cash, that they could float that by Breeze and that Breeze would cave.
Well, I mean, didn't they do that when they almost went super YOLO for Josh Norman? Like, they were talking to Josh Norman on the phone, and they, like, told Breeze, yeah, they're like, if we get Josh Norman to come here, will you redo your deal? And basically, it was going to be the two-year deal, I think, that, like, he ended up signing. Like, he was going to do something similar to that if they could have got Josh Norman, and Breeze
that's
was like,
right.
And he was like, cool, we'll do it. So, like, yeah, but that wouldn't be for, like, a little thing. Like, it's got to be, like, a dude. Like a
blockbuster.
Like a whole, yeah, like, I don't know what that name would be.
Like a Jarrett Bird.
I mean, I don't know who's the thing is, though, I can't think of a defensive guy name that looks like a wow name that would be available. You know, like, I'm trying to think of a team, like, who's doing, like, San Francisco, they don't really have, they're doing a fire sale, but they don't really have anybody great on defense, right, at linebacker. I mean, they got rid of, they wouldn't do Navarro Bowman, right? So, who's
that guy on the Jets that they were shopping for a while?
The Richardson, they traded him, though. I guess Wilkerson.
Wilkerson.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald at receiver, Dave, would Drew do something to fit Larry Fitzgerald in if Arizona blew it up?
I mean, how much longer is Fitzgerald going to play?
He might
kind of like Drew, where he just keeps playing, he keeps making catches, you know, he keeps taking care of his body. Yeah, I don't know. I think Drew and Fitzgerald are close, aren't they? I mean, they're friendly.
Yeah.
Off the field,
that'd be like a 1 year rental. But I mean, the thing is, if you had to give it a percent chance, Andrew, that something like major happens. And Kikaha getting traded isn't major. Like, that's just like, oh, that'll be fun. We can talk about that tomorrow, but because I think that'll get done. But like something where we are doing an emergency podcast tomorrow night and talking about the Saints doing a trade.
I don't think you can put it past Loomis, man. I think if the right deal becomes available where he's got to do something crazy to make it happen, whether that's cap flexibility or whatever. The Saints are aggressive. That's always been their mindset. In the front office, it's the way they draft. It's the way they acquire players. It's the way they call offensive plays.
And nothing's changed, right?
That's their mindset.
Like, nothing has changed about the Saints' process. Like, they're still aggressive as fuck. Like, they still trade up. They still do all this. They're just better at their philosophy. Like, the results are better. But nothing's changed about how they run their ship, right?
No.
So, Dave, do you think it happens tomorrow that we're doing an emergency podcast because they did something YOLO?
15%.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think it's about 25. I think they would for certain do something at linebacker. I just don't think there's a guy that they can go and get. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, Navarro Bowman's kind of like, he was like the best you could do at this time of year, I think, with guys available, and they took their shot and it just didn't work, you know. But I don't know, like, I mean, I don't know what teams are. I guess we don't know enough about the truly horrible teams. But I mean, San Francisco is clearly rebuilding. I can't think of any names. So let's get to the Twitter questions.
Check in on the candy corn poll. What's going on with that?
the candy corn poll is
candy corn update.
Has been
brought to you by.
I was pounding candy corn and praline pecan Canadian whiskey yesterday and during all these Astros playoffs. 64% trash, 87 votes.
It's not looking good.
It's not looking good, man. It's not looking good. So we got questions. This is from Riker. Was I tripping when I saw Marcus Williams take a smart angle on the long run in the fourth? Don't our safeties usually overrun those? Andrew, is that true? Is Marcus Williams taking good angles? And you don't hear a lot about him. You hear a lot about all the other rookies in the class, but you don't hear too much about him. And he's been hit or miss
for me. He's been hit or miss. I mean, you know, he had that incredible interception. You know, at times he's made some nice tackles, but I've yet to be truly impressed by him.
But I mean, he's not it's just a normal rookie campaign for a guy that's good enough to start. Yeah. Like, it's like he's not like regressing, or you aren't going, oh my God, this team is this team.
No, I mean, no.
We lost Dave. He'll call back. I also said to tell your favorite Halloween candy, describe 5-2 in 5 words. Mel says Lattimore Island is for real. Like, Lattimore is he's ridiculous, Andrew. Like, really fucking. And the thing is, like, he's gonna win Defensive Player of the Year. If the Saints win 10 games or more, Lattimore is gonna win Rookie of the Year. Because the Saints' defense will be better, and people will look at him, and it doesn't matter how many interceptions he has or doesn't have. The media will look at the Saints and be like, they're good again, their defense is good, Lattimore is a big reason why we're voting him. Does that make sense? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think necessarily he has to build a huge stat case as far as like interceptions or pass defense. Like, if the Saints make the playoffs,
well, he's really lucky that he's in the PFF era, you know, because I do think people recognize and give credit to players that maybe don't put up huge stats.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Cam Jordan's another one. I just feel like Cam Jordan is getting a lot more respect now because of PFF grades, and people realize what a good run defender he is, and it's not just about
his
sack total, which have been nice this year. You know, in general, I think those guys, I mean, if they had been around 10 years ago, you know, where Lattimore had 2 picks and then people stopped throwing to him, I just think the average football fan wasn't looking that way back then. For that reason, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, Dave's back. There's Dave. Dave, are you back?
I'm back.
There we go. Mel asked this question. Dave, pick one. The Saints can acquire a wide receiver, tight end, or linebacker before the trade deadline. You have to pick.
Tight end.
Ooh, that's
pretty easy.
That's an interesting choice.
I just don't think there's any way that's going to happen.
No, there's not.
No, they people.
Because right now they're paying Fleener $7 million a year. They're paying Hooman $3 million a year.
They don't pay Hooman $3 million. Do they pay him $3 million a year?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God! I know they pay. I know Josh Hill.
No, they don't.
I know Josh Hill got 3 years, $6 million from the Bears, and they matched it. I can't. They pay Hooman $3 million a year. I feel like that's.
I thought Hooman had like a 3-year, $9 million deal or something.
That maybe. That seems high.
Yeah, it does. Maybe I'm wrong.
But even if,
yeah,
even
well,
if,
so did that $10 million a year for Fleener or whatever.
Even if I'm right, and it's Fleener's getting 7, and Hooman's getting 2, and Josh Hill's getting 2, that's $11 million a tight end. That's a lot.
That's my point. Like, I just
who they barely use.
I don't think they're going to give up more assets. Like, they've already overspent on that position. I just don't think.
I'm surprised that – I'm not saying I thought Fleener was going to be like an 80 catch and turn into Jimmy Graham, but I didn't think he would regress from 50 catches and good every now and then. Fleener
– I called that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you did. Like, he is totally like a very, very expensive end table at this point.
Yeah.
Better. Ooh, this is a good question, Andrew. Better pick Lattimore or Kamara? I think it's pretty easy, though.
Lattimore. It's not close.
Kamara's good. Kamara's good, though. I mean, like
he is. No, I'm glad they have. I mean, honestly, this offense is kind of devoid of playmaking talent. He's kind of the only one. You know, I mean, Mike Thomas is obviously great, and he's having a good season, but I mean, Kamara is the most dynamic weapon they have.
Alex asks, he says, Coffee Crisp is MVP of Halloween. Thoughts on Coffee Crisp, Dave? I feel like you're the candy aficionado.
What's Coffee Crisp?
It's like a kind of like a Kit Kat, but it's coffee flavored.
Oh,
it's pretty good.
Oh, I've never heard of this. I need to get some of this right now.
It's good.
I need to try it.
I'm a big fan of the new like weird M&M flavors, like coffee nut and caramel. And
Dave, you need to pound some Coffee Crisp. And then report back for Halloween, and then report back for the next podcast.
Dylan,
is Coffee Crisp like the Ralph? We're not done with this yet. Is Coffee Crisp like, is that like the name brand? Like if I walked into a store, I'd say, "Hey, can I get some Coffee Crisp?"
Yeah, I think so. They have different. They have like coffee flavored chocolate candy is kind of like a new thing, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's a Nestle. Coffee Crisp is a Nestle product, you know?
Okay.
You know, if you like...
You know what's funny is that I don't drink coffee. I've never drank coffee in my entire life. I think people that drink coffee are weak. But I love coffee-flavored things.
Why get your energy from caffeine when you can get it from pure sugar?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If you like coffee and you like Kit Kat, like
I'm eating candy right now.
Coffee Crisp is strong. Dylan asks thoughts.
I'm eating Power Rangers fruits next.
Thoughts on the Saints now being 18-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. Dylan, I got the Saints at 50-1. So,
did you? How much?
I win $2,000. Whatever.
So you put down like $2.
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, my wife was in Vegas. My wife was in Vegas on a wedding. She bet the Saints to win the Super Bowl and the Astros to win the World Series. The Astros odds.
Wow.
The Astros odds were terrible though. So, what is it like $400? So it's not like. I think she bet like 25 on the Astros and 50 on the Saints. Like it's not like it wasn't. It wasn't like huge amounts. I mean, the Saints. They're. I mean, the NFC. Andrew, it's Philadelphia, and besides Philadelphia, who do you think on the NFC is definitely better than the Saints?
The Rams.
You think the Rams? I don't know, man. I wouldn't.
The Rams are a complete team.
I thought their defense was pretty bad.
I don't know.
They got Tanzel Smart. They got Tulane's own Tanzel Smart.
Backing up Aaron Donald.
Yeah, not starting.
The Rams are 15th in defense, which I thought they'd be a little higher.
I don't know. I think they have a high potential to play better based on the people they have, though.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be like if the Saints played the Rams in a playoff game, I wouldn't be like...
Michael Brockers has been insanely good for them, by the way.
Well, I mean, they got rid of the Jeff Fisher disease, and they... Not only that, just getting rid of Jeff Fisher, I think, would have...
I'm still waiting for the Saints to impress me, you know? I mean, that's part of it. I mean, the win streak has impressed me, but...
They were good against Carolina. I thought they were really good against
Carolina. I'm waiting for Michael Thomas to impress me.
They were good against Carolina, I thought. I mean, they stomped Carolina into the ground. Like,
look, this isn't me, like, being a negative fan. I mean, Breeze has said in the press, like, I still don't think we've played our best game. Like, I'm glad that we get to learn and correct our mistakes as we're winning, because that's much better than, you know, losing and learning the hard way. And Sean Payton said, you know, we're still searching for four quarters of perfect football. I mean, I'm not just being like doomsday here. I mean, it's the coaching staff is saying this. I mean, yeah. They have not played that well. Now it's awesome that they're 5-2. Don't get me wrong. I'm pumped and I'm really enjoying first place because it's been a long time coming, but I think if long term, like how sustainable is this? They've got to get better offensively on third down.
Yeah, they can't be. They're 19th on third down, and that's like, that is unspeakably bad for the Sean Payton era. I think they've never been lower than sixth in the on third down. So like being 19th, it's just unspeakably. But Dylan asks, Dave, are Saints fans spoiled? Brad's complaining about a team when we're 5-2, just as Andrew.
Yeah, I was gonna say something about you guys earlier. I mean, you guys were. For a team that was 5-2, you guys were
right out of the gate talking about what everything that was wrong.
No, I love it because they're winning. They're winning on they got lucky and they're not even playing well and they're winning. Like I'm excited because they can get better. I don't feel like they've played really well and they've played.
They've had a good first half against Detroit.
Well, no, they haven't played. If you told me the Saints were 5-2 and they were playing like they were playing, I would have expected them, Andrew, to be in a bunch of coin flip games and just be lucky at the end. And you'd be like, man, they're 5-2, but they have got to stop playing these close games because they're not going to go in their favor. But they're 5-2, and this game was the first game that was a one score game. Like they're 5-2. Green Bay, they had total control of the game with 5 minutes to go. Detroit, it got a little loose, but with 5 minutes to go, the game was decided. Carolina, they blew them out. Miami, that game, once it got to 13-0, you were like, Miami can play till next week. They're not fucking scoring. So you know what I'm saying? So like that, like.
But they're definitely offensive problems because you know what? I think I'm not in front of a computer, but I think the last four or five games or whatever, the Saints defense has only allowed like 10 points in the fourth quarter or something ridiculous.
Yeah, the Saints
like
are
that.
Lights.
They shut it down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So if you're concerned about their performance late in games, you're talking about the offense.
No,
obviously.
I am. It's that, like the thing is like I don't have it in front of me, Andrew, but I would who was the last team to win or go deep into the playoffs that wasn't in like the top 15 on third down conversions on offense?
No, you know, fear. I have no idea.
Like I don't either. But that would be something where like I would think you'd be hard pressed to find a team that was just. I mean, you can find teams like you know the Giants.
Probably the Broncos. I bet the Broncos.
The 2009. What was it? 2015.
Yeah.
Let's take a look.
Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
So
Reading Rainbow.
Let's see. We got
I can do anything.
Let's see. 2015 third down percentage. Let's see. The Rams were really high on third down percentage, which was odd that year.
Todd Gurley was a beast.
The Denver Broncos completed. They were no, that can't be right. The Saints are too far. I think I'm looking at defense. Yeah, that's defense. That's why.
Let's leave it to Ralph to
fuck it up.
Yep.
Yeah. Denver was. They were 40%, so they were 12. So even they were like,
not bad.
Not, I mean, the Saints need to get. They'll have to go away. They're 19th. They need to go aways. But Cajun Alaskan says, my favorite Halloween candy, Reese's peanut butter cups. It's Reese's peanuts, peanut butter from a jar. My son is allergic to peanuts, and I miss it. Don't judge me. I feel you. I love some peanut butter. Kevin isn't here. Andrew, does Bill Belichick sign Kaepernick just to give the league a big middle finger?
I like it.
No, because Kraft is a Trump supporter, man. Like that's the thing. Like all these NFL owners, man, they're like they don't wear the Make America Great hats because in public because you know they just that's shamed upon. But they like all are. I mean, look, billionaires are rich, and billionaires, I mean, that's just the way of the world. I mean, billionaires are rich. Yeah. They like money. They like tax breaks.
They're really old. Most yes. really old people are racist.
He's not wrong. You show me somebody that's 85, over the age of 85, and white and lives in the South and is not racist, and I'll show you a liar. Let's see. Do we have any? How many picks does Lattimore finish the year with, Andrew? That's from Jacob.
What does he have now? Three?
Two. He has two in seven games, although he missed a game.
Yeah.
Right? From a concussion. So really two in six games. So he's getting one every three games. You know, I think 4 or 5. I'll say five.
I'll say four. I just feel like teams are just gonna like they're just like we're
yeah picks are gonna be harder to come
like I just feel him. Like we are one more huge Lattimore game where he's like lights out and has a pick six or a big pick where teams are just like we're not fucking throwing at you anymore like you get
yeah but here's the thing I think two things I think number one if Crawley was god awful garbage on the other side. Then it would be easier for teams because they'd be like, yeah, we're not throwing him because the other corner's trash. But he's playing well. And number two, like the Saints are already putting Lattimore against the best receiver every week. So, like, they're just going to play teams where, you know, they're like, hey, he's still a rookie and we still have faith in our number one receiver. So, I don't know. I don't think Lattimore is so good and so proven yet. The teams are going to shy away from throwing to their number one receiver.
Yeah, Patrick says feels like bathing Falcons tears. That's our 5-5-2 in five words. And this JBR says please just beat lousy Tampa, which brings us Andrew to your pick for the Tampa game. Tampa is a 7-point underdog in the Superdome.
I mean that's segue, Ralph. A plus.
Yeah, Tampa is a hot goal. I feel like. If the Saints curb stomp Tampa, Dirk Cutter's going to get fired on Monday. Like, I feel like that's in play. Not that it'll happen because the Saints struggle with Tampa a lot of times, but Andrew, I feel like it's in play because Tampa was supposed to be good, and they are not.
I think the Saints are going to win. Saints-Tampa is always a tough game. I mean, I think it's an NFC South opponent. Tampa seems to always play well in the Dome. And I think the Saints are going to play well. I think it's just going to be a tough, hard-fought game. I think the Bucs are, you know, they've been poor, and they probably look at this as, like, their last chance to stay in it, you know, because the other teams in the NFC, everybody's winning. Yeah, everybody has a winning record except Tampa. So I think it's going to be tough. I also think they have a good defense, which is, you know, and the Saints' offense hasn't been great.
McCoy
so.
Gives the Saints fucking fits.
He's always owned them, and you know he's going to go up against Senio Calamete. So, you know, I think it's going to be Saints 27, Bucks 24, and I think it will just come down to Jameis Winston not being 100%, not being super accurate because of his shoulder issues, and I think it's going to end kind of like the Saints Bears game. He's going to throw a pick late.
So, who's your MVP?
I think defense again. I'm going to go with Cam Jordan.
Dave, your pick for the game. Tampa is 29th in yards allowed on defense. they give up 24 points a week.
I think my colleague, Mr. Andrew Juge, was pretty spot on. I mean, I think it's not going to be a cakewalk like everybody would expect. You know, you can't just look at the 2-5 record and assume they're going to steamroll. Like Andrew said, this is an NFC South game.
This just feel like a game where Doug Martin's just going to own us on the ground.
So, you know, I'd say even lower scoring. You know, I'll say 23-20. If I was a betting person, if they're really given 7 points, I would take the Bucks with the points. And
now the good news is the Bucks don't really seem to get turnovers, and they don't really. They seem to get sacks.
They cannot. Simeon Rice, who's like 40, was telling the Bucks on Twitter. He's like, "I'm 40. Sign me up. I can help your pass rush." And people were not like saying that's completely ridiculous. They're like, "Well, the Tampa they can't get sacks, and their pass defense is 28." I don't know. Give me.
So maybe this is the Saints defense waking up.
This week? Well, I think definitely in a close game like this, I definitely think there's going to be somebody on defense that's going to have a great game and come up big. So
also have Brent Grimes, who always does well against the Saints.
Yeah, when he was with Atlanta. So I'll say Lattimore. I'll say Lattimore. Maybe he'll get like a pick six or something like that. Right. But I'm also still Michael Thomas. I'm waiting on you, buddy. Come on, buddy.
I feel like
waiting on that big game.
I hate it because I said that the Saints would beat the Bears really badly and they didn't. I feel like if the Saints don't score 30 on Tampa, it's time to worry about the offense because Tampa is their secondary is garbage. They can't sack the quarterback. They're 28th in pass defense. Like if the Saints can't light Tampa up at home on defense, there's a problem with this offense. Now,
I'm kind of surprised the Bucs are so bad on defense because they ended the year incredibly
they're injured.
Well last
they're
year.
In, their secondary is, their secondary and linebackers are all injured. They're like beat to hell.
Who are they missing?
They're missing who's the linebacker they have from LSU? That really good
Quan Alexander.
Yeah, they're missing him. I think they're missing three of their top five corners. They for a while they didn't have any safeties. Like they're injured to all hell. I feel like the Saints for whatever reason are going to struggle against Jameis Winston. I think the defense is going to. They've had so many good weeks. Like their young kids are going to struggle, and I think it's going to be 34-27 Saints. And they're going to have. It's going to be one of them performances where you're like, oh man, the kids. They're, you know, like Williams will take a bad angle. Crawley will just have a bad game. I feel like either one of you can jump in. I feel like we're getting a little spoiled. But we kind of forget that they have like eight first and second year guys playing, you know, and they're I feel like on defense, they're like due for a clunker game. And it's time for like Breeze and the offense to pick their ass up, you know, and after the game. Breeze will be MVP because Breeze is going to have one of his 30 for 35, 350 and four games, and he's going to be like it's about time that I was awesome and picked up the team because they've been picking me up the last month, and that's I think Drew Breeze is going to be the MVP of the game, 34-27
Saints.
I like that
prediction.
What's that?
I like that prediction.
You know, and I mean, because the thing is, like Breeze, he's positive, but he's kind of been like down after these games. Like I feel like he's excited about the winning, but he doesn't like the fact that he's not being awesome. Does that make that? Yeah. Is that in Dave or Andrew, Dave? Am I reading that wrong? Like, I feel like Breeze kind of down after these games.
I think it's valid.
You know,
I mean, he's barely on pace to break 4,000 yards at this point.
Yeah,
you know.
Like, granted, I'm not saying. I mean, we all know Drew Brees. He cares about his stats a lot. I'm not saying that like he values the stats over winning. But like, I feel like he's looking at it and be like, we're winning, but we can get better. I got to get better, and I want to roll. You know, like he needs to drop one of those games. Like he needs to drop one of those home games, like he did against the Raiders last year, where he was like, holy shit, unbelievably awesome. And I think. We hadn't had one.
They lost that game.
Well, they did lose that game because their defense was trash. But I think if he plays like that against Tampa, like even if the defense is bad,
he played like that because his defense was trash and he had to fucking throw the goddamn ball so many times.
Well, I think it'll be like that against. I think it'll be like that a little bit Sunday, and they'll win, Dave. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But 6-2 is 6-2. So that about.
Goddamn right it is.
So that about. Wraps it up.
Did the Saints sweep the Bucs last
week? No, they lost 16-11 at Tampa. You know, remember that game? That was the game where like Brandon Cooks dropped a touchdown, Kadett dropped a touchdown, and the Saints were just like, it was just like a horrible watching experience. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it rings a bell.
So, all right. So, yeah, for
was about half of the games last season.
So, for Kevin, who has a very wrong opinion about candy corn, but we still love him. For Andrew, for Dave, happy Halloween. Until next week, the bar is closed. Go Astros!